Okay, it's good to be here with everybody this afternoon, and we're going to get ready for the Word of God as we always do. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time we have the opportunity to name any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can be here as the royal family and studying your word and growing in grace and knowledge and see how phenomenal you are in all things. We want to pray for Israel to have victory over their enemies and that they will be able to do it without it being drug out or anything like that. Looks like they're doing a good job so far, but we just pray for them so that they will be able to keep their freedom and continue to be a people who are special to you. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this afternoon, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll take your Bibles and... Well, not your Bibles, not right now. I'll just go ahead and put it on the screen. I'm going to start with Tuesday's lesson. No, it was Thursday's lesson. And it will blend right into our lesson for tonight. And it's a short one, but there's a lot in it. So we're just going to go through this. I'm not going to linger on it, but I'm going to go over it again so we will get another chance to learn what is being said even more and more. So, needless to say, these words, where are we? We want to go to... Well, this is kind of going on with what is above this lesson. But I will tie it in together. We're not going to get above it, but just go from here. Needless to say, these words firmly contradict the ultra-Calvinist view that Christ died for the elect. This is the first time I'm getting into this part of Calvinism because it certainly does not jive with what the Bible says. So, the Calvinist, sometimes called Reformers claim that Christ died only for the elect, only those who he chose to save. The tortured efforts made to defend that view in the face of this are futile. The contrast here is explicitly between believers John is addressing and the whole world of mankind, which John later says lies under the sway of the wicked one, which is talking about Satan, and that's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Now, do you remember how to pronounce that next word, or do you know what it's about? J-O-H-A-N-N-I-N-E. Johannine. It's just what the scholars call for the things that John has done. So it says, Johannine, thought and terminology leave absolutely no room for such concept as the world of the elect. Now, we're talking about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And in verse 2, it talks about that God is propitiated with the work of God. And that's not only for us who are believers, but also for the whole world. And why is it for the whole world? Because Jesus Christ paid for the sins of every single person who ever lived or will live. He took our punishment upon himself. And so that's what 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says. And they're saying, no, not everyone is going to have their sins paid for. Only those that that God selected to give salvation to. So Christ's death therefore covers the totality of human sin from the beginning of creation until the end of history, when eternity begins. So we all know that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, He took our punishment. He took our sins upon Himself, and it was a horrible, horrible thing. But He did it because He loved us and because it was part of God's plan. So every person has Jesus Christ who paid for their sins. Does that mean they're sinless? No, it doesn't mean they're sinless. But what does it mean? It means they are not going to be condemned for the sins that they do, because Christ has already taken care of them. So if Christ has taken care of all the sins of the world, and the people aren't going to be tossed in the lake of fire because of their sins, sins won't even be mentioned. So that you can concur and put this together to mean that no one goes to hell because of their sins. And I would say probably somewhere in the 90 to 95 number of people believe, that's nearly 100%, believe that people go to hell for their sins. And you can ask them, you can say, well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Did He go to the cross? Yes. Well, what did He do on the cross? And then they think, they can't usually go that far. But what you can say is the whole reason that He came to earth and the reason that He was on the cross was to save all mankind from their sins. He was perfect. He never sinned one time. And so He was the only one that could take on our sins and pay for them, and we wouldn't be condemned because of our sins. And when you tell most people that, get ready for something that most people have never heard that before, and they think it's blasphemy, which it is not. I hope that y'all have that by now under your belt, that people don't go to hell for sins. Christ took care of all their sins on the cross. So we have here the whole world of mankind, which John later says lies under the sway of the wicked one. Who is the wicked one?
Satan.
That's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. So Johannine thought and terminology leaves absolutely no room for any such concept as the world of the elect. There's no such thing as the world of the elect. And so they're saying, well, that Christ died for only the ones that God chose to save, and that is not biblical. Christ's death, therefore, covers the totality of human sin from the beginning of creation until the end of history, when eternity begins. So, for the Apostle John, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What is really outstanding about that verse? I mean, it just looks like it's, okay, well, John saw Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Who else could do that? Could Trump do it? No, Trump couldn't do it. What does it mean when it says the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Well, for about two centuries, you have the Jews sacrificing not only hundreds, but thousands and maybe millions of animals. And God was using them to take their sins, and He just like put a lid over it. So when the lambs were to be slaughtered, there was blood that came out, and that blood represents the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And that means that He was able to take away the sins of the world. That's the whole thing. Nobody could take it away. Even the animals and all those sacrifices made didn't do anything. They were just a preview of what Christ was going to do on the cross. And so when it hadn't happened yet, but when it did happen, when Jesus Christ, right before he was going to be crucified, that you have John calling him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, which means he took care of all the sin problem for every person who ever lived or whoever will live, and he took that away. And so it's not an issue in salvation when you're talking about those sins, because God has already taken care of them. I'm going to go a little bit further here now. So the argument is Christ paid for all human sin, then all would be saved is a misconception. So if you say that Jesus Christ took the sins of the whole world, then there's a lot of people say, well, if that was true, and it is true, by the way, it means that then they are sinless. You know, it means that if Christ paid for the sins of all human beings, then they would be saved. But that is not so. Just watch this now. The removal of sin as a barrier to God's saving grace does not automatically bring regeneration and eternal life. It is true, no one is going to be condemned for their sins because of what Christ did. But just because they're not going to be condemned doesn't mean they automatically are going to be saved. While God's holy and just requirement that sin receive his judicial retribution was fulfilled on the cross or at the cross, and the sinner remains dead, alienated from the life of God. So even though no person has a sin, because Christ took care of those sins, but that doesn't mean they're automatically saved. Something has to happen. They have to do one thing before they can be saved. But that we are born physically alive and spiritually dead. And so something else has to happen, which I'll show you in just a moment. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hard-heartedness of their heart. So we're talking about people who Christ took care of their sins, but they still are darkened in their understanding. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. But they're not on God's side. They're darkened in their understanding, and they're excluded from the life of God because they don't care about God. Because of the ignorance, they don't know how to be saved, for the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So, even though they have not been condemned, we're going to go from here down and see, here's where our next lesson starts right here. But it says, faith is the prescribed way for this alienation to be bridged. Now, let's look at this. It's got some words here that maybe need to be explained a bit. This is saying, okay, well, the people were darkened in their understanding. They were excluded from the life of God, and they had ignorance, and they had hardness of heart. They had all of those things. And the only remedy not to have those things is this first verse, this first sentence right here. Faith is the prescribed way for this alienation to be bridged. What does it mean, alienation? Well, these people, I just said it already a couple of times, they don't understand what's going on. They're excluded from the life of God. They have ignorance, and they have hardness of heart. So what is it that can bridge that? What is the thing that would be able to set that aside and would be the prescribed way for this to go away? Right, faith. The only way that anybody has ever been saved or will be saved is by faith in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did on the cross. That's it. 100%. That's all it takes. It will take all these negative things up here, and when a person hears an accurate gospel and they put faith in that, that's all gone, and now you're a child of God and you have been born again. All these wonderful things take place. So I wanted to explain that because it was a little bit hard to explain. At the final judgment of the lost, and you might as well turn to this because I'm going to go into this a bit myself. But what I'm talking here, turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Okay, we're going to show you something, and we're going to be looking at it on our Bible. I'll get something going here now. Okay, so now I need to get there. How many of you recognize this? Part of the scriptures here. When you just look at this or see the address, do you automatically know what it's talking about? Well, if you don't, we're going to go over it now anyway. We're in Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to start with verse 11. Okay? Verse 11. Now I've got to bring this up. Now, where it says faith, we got the look up here for on the screen for a moment. So, at the final judgment of the lost, and you see where that says Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. Let me give you a little background here so you'll know. This portion of the scriptures and these verses from 11 through 15 in chapter 20 of Revelation is describing the lost people, all unbelievers from all time. They rejected Jesus Christ, and they're going to go to the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ is going to be judging them, and we're going to go through this. And I've even got a slide to show you for this as well. But I want you to understand this. This is one of the most important verses, these few verses, that you can explain to someone. Because most people, like I said, they think they're going to hell for their sins, which they are not. In fact, sin is not even going to be mentioned. So all unbelievers that are going to be resurrected and stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, one thing that stands out so brilliantly, really, you can't miss it. Everybody thinks, okay, well, if there's going to be millions and billions and billions of people that are unbelievers and they're going to be judged at the great white throne, then surely God is going to talk about their sins. In this part of the scriptures, where all unbelievers are going to be judged and tossed into the lake of fire, sin is not mentioned once. Now, I was a Calvinist a long time ago, and this is what got me out of Calvinism, this very portion of the scriptures. And I was at Baraka Church, and I remember we were going over these same verses that we're going to go over here, and a light went on. Because right off the bat, when I figured out that all these are unbelievers and they're going to be judged, and I looked and there was nowhere, and we'll look in just a moment at it as well, and sin wasn't mentioned. And I thought, how in the world can all these billions of people who are going to hell, how come they can't, their sins aren't even going to be mentioned? Now, with that in the backdrop, let's start over here, and it'll unfold as we go over. So we're going to be looking at verse 11 to start with. And this is the judgment at the throne of God. And we call it, right in verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and Him," that would be Jesus Christ, "who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them." In other words, there's no place they could run, nothing they could do. They're going to be judged, and there's nothing they can do about it. Verse 12. So this is the great white throne judgment. Verse 12. "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne." You understand this? In other words, look at this. The dead is going to comprise the great people and the small, all kinds of people that rejected Jesus Christ, before the throne. "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books." Now, I've got a thing for the books here. Now, this isn't one I had. Let's see. Oh, I know. I got to get off of this. I need to go. I don't want you to see this while I'm doing this, so I can find it easier. Here it is. Okay. Now we can get back on it. Keep looking at your part, verse 12. And so we're going to see something about books here in just a moment. Cam, how do I get all this on the top out of the way? I could do it, but it's covering up so much. If I cut that, it's not going to cut the whole thing, is it? Okay. Uh-oh. Can I get back? Right here? I don't think it's not... I've never seen it so low like that before. Oh, right here on bookmark. Oh, I'll just leave it like it is. It's just so much taken up. But anyway, all right, let's get back here. And so he said, "I saw all these people." And he said, "And the books were opened." Now, here is the book. And this book is called... Let me make sure I'm on the right place here. Okay, this is the book of works here. Now, what you're seeing here up there on the left, where it says, "Your name is entered at birth, erased at death if not born again." So what this is saying is every person who was ever born, his name was entered in the book of works, the book of life. Yeah, here it is. And... If they died without believing Jesus Christ, if they at death, if not born again. So let's look at each one of these verses to explain it. Philippians 4:3, that's the first subject there. "And the rest of my fellow workers whose names are not in the book of life." So, huh? Are in. Their names are in the book of life. So the fellow workers would be who? Unbelievers, because their names are not in the book of life. This is the book of life. So when you are born and you your name is listed in the book of life, that's fine. But let's go to the next one. Psalm 69:28. "May they," unbelievers, "be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous." So this book of life, everybody's name is in. If you are by the time you die, if you did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then your name was taken out of the book of life. Are y'all getting this? Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. Is this a believer or an unbeliever?
Believer,
right. And so, he who overcomes, what is that talking about when it says he who overcomes? Whenever you hear the gospel and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have overcome the world. And so that's what that's talking about. So he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. Now we have one more here. It's called Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 through 15. Why don't I read that part first? Let's get back over to our Bible. We're not on our screen now. We're going to our Bible. And we're going to look at verse, it's between 12 and 15. I'm not going to read all this right now. In fact, I think I won't read it all, but this is the salient part right here. And another book was opened, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So when the first thing that's going to happen, that we're going to go through these books, and they have the books over here, and they, if you're standing before the court right here, and they found that they can't find your name, and we're talking about in the book of life, what does that mean? It means that they are unbelievers, and what they want to do is to work their way into heaven. That so many people think you can't be saved unless you work your way, and it's just the opposite. So the first thing, their name is not going to be there. Let's go to the next one. What?
No, I'm just thinking that the people that the Calvinists in Revelation 3:5, who overcomes, they maybe think that possibly that to be persevere, you will thus be clothed.
Well, they might, and they might try that, but that's not even the context. He who overcomes, it has to do with salvation, and when you believe in Jesus Christ, boom. There's even scriptures talking about you have overcome. Not that we did anything, but we have overcome the world. That's the context of that one.
I was just thinking of what they think. We might would think of something like that, since they believe they're so far off.
Yeah. Well, let me think. If I was a Calvinist looking at that, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from. Well, here's the thing of it. Their name is in the book of life, and if they are hardcore Calvinists, their name is going to be blotted out. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. But don't they think you have to persevere?
Well, yeah, they say that's the last part of it. Okay. They think you have to persevere, but that doesn't count anyway because this works.
I think the context of chapter 3 there is there's a pericope called the dead church.
The what?
The dead church.
Dead church?
He's describing the church.
Uh-huh.
To the church, angel of the church in Sardis. So it's not, the context is not salvation. It's about the condition of this church, I believe.
Well, it does have to do with salvation to, with the fact that God is not going to erase his name from the book of life. Which means he has the book of life, which means he is a believer, and he has overcome the world. I'm not sure if it's. I know there's a verse. I have it in the on the website.
Oh, I
that means it's overcomes that way.
I see. So is this specific to those people in that church? Sorry.
Well, he says, he who overcomes, it doesn't say how many or who it is, but I think who you probably could say, whoever overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. And, of course, white garments is what is significant in several times when it's talking about heaven. And I will not erase his name from the book of life. Okay, let's move on. So the next thing that has to do with the books, let's go back to our Bibles, and let's do number 12 again, because there's a lot of information right here. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and the books were opened. This would be we haven't got to it yet. This is talking about the books of works. And we're going to get to that in a moment, but that's what it's talking about. And the books were opened. You see, we'll get to this in a moment. And that has to do with all unbelievers who are depending on their own works to be saved is in this book. That's the book that is mentioned right there. It's not in the same order as we have over here on the screen, but you'll see it in a moment. And the books were opened, and that you could put in the margin if you wanted to. That's the book of works. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And that's the one that we were talking about right off the bat here, the book of life. Now, why are they going to open up the book of life? Because if the book of life is not there, that means that they are unbelievers. You see? And so, and that's one of the biggest tells right there, is that when they're looking here, they're all there, and they call out a name, and they look in the book of life, and there's nothing there, then that's going to be mean that they are unbelievers, and they're going to go to the lake of fire. And then it says, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books. What kind of books are those?
Works.
Huh?
The works.
Yeah, the book of works. You need to put if you have a fine pen, and when we go to that verse 12, and we're looking at the first books, and it says, and the books were opened, you want to put works there. And I'm going to get to it, and you'll see how it fits. But that is the book of works. And then it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And that's the one that we went over, that we're looking at right there. And you know what's going to happen 100% of the time at the Great White Throne when they're looking for the book of life or somebody? They're never going to get it. Because everybody there is unbelievers, which means their name was entered in the book of life when they were born, but they rejected Jesus Christ, and then it was erased. Remember when I said that? So the people who are, when they look for the second book, which is the book of life, 100% of the time it's not going to be there. If they did have the book of life there, it would be a big, it just wouldn't happen, because their name is not entered into the book of life anymore because they rejected Jesus Christ. Now let's go on. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books. What are you going to put there? Works. Y'all need to be doing this, or you're never going to remember it. And it's kind of a little sticky, because you have to know what these books are and which one does this and which one does that. And this is one of the most important areas in the Scripture, because it tells the truth about what's going to happen to every single unbeliever. So, the first books mentioned were the books of works, the next one the book of life, which none of these people standing there have it entered because they are unbelievers. And then we have again where it says, and the dead were judged from the things which are written in the books, that would be the books of works, according to their deeds. Now, you could underline that. They are being judged by their deeds, or you could say works. You could say they're going to be judged according to their deeds or their works. But there's no sin there. You would think that if they were going to be judged for their sins, it would be right here, but it's not. So you want to put the books of works according to their deeds. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their sins? What does it say?
Deeds
or works. And they were judged because so many people think you have to be a good person. You have to be good deeds. You have to do all of these things in order to be saved. And that's a lie. We can't do... I want everybody to look up here for me for just a second. You can't do anything at any point in your life to help get into heaven by your own effort. In fact, it's blasphemy to even try. The only way that anyone ever got into heaven is by believing the gospel that Jesus Christ paid for our sins and He is perfect in all things. And when we put our trust in Him, when we have faith in Him, when we believe in Him, bam, in that second, we are saved. And automatically you become a child of God. You acquire a soul, which you didn't have before. You have eternal life. You have God's own righteousness. And it goes on and on. But the only way that anybody ever got that was to believe in Jesus Christ. And by the way, believe is non-meritorious. That means you didn't jive up something in order to do it. All you did was see it. You saw the or heard the gospel and you said, that looks right to me. And then whenever you don't even have to say anything. You could think it. But the moment that you're in your soul, in your mind, well, it wouldn't be in your soul yet. You wouldn't have it because you're still an unbeliever. But the moment you say in your mind or you say it out loud, whatever, that I believe in Jesus Christ, my whole eternity is based on Him, that He is who He says He is. Bam! That's it. But all these other people that are going to be there at the great white throne, they rejected that. They think, oh, that's too easy. And so what they do is they go their whole life trying to be the best person they can. And you might say, well, that's laudable. Well, it is until you try to force it with your deeds to get into heaven. Nobody has ever been able to get in heaven but for anything they have done, no matter how wonderful it is. In fact, the harder you work to get in heaven, the further you're getting away from it. Because that's your own deeds. And I have some scriptures I can show you that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And those who are trying to work, try to work their way into heaven, are actually going the other direction. And so in Romans 4:5, it says, to the one who does not believe, to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness, and that's how you get to heaven right there. Did you hear how that started? To the one who works, they're working, trying to get work their way to heaven. To the one who works,
the one who does not work.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I'm trying to explain. They're the unbelievers there. To the one who does not work, and that's what everybody thinks, you have to work to get to heaven. To the one who does not work, but believes, to the one who does not work, now I'm getting mixed up. To the one does not work is. To the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his what? Say it.
Faith
is what So that's what I'm trying to show you. What we're seeing here is one of the most important thing you can tell somebody, especially when somebody is trying to make it by their works. And Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What? "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And there's half a dozen of them you can come up with that. And yet these people don't know them, or they don't care. They're just out there trying to do the best they can and hope that God is going to let them into heaven because of their puny efforts. Okay. Boy, this is taking longer than I thought, but it's harder to teach you than when I was doing it at home. Okay, now we're going to another book. You see it there? Lamb's Book of Life. What is that? Well, let's look at it. The name entered on the basis of being born again is never erased. So whenever, let me go through the books again. First of all, when you're born, what happens? Your name is entered in the Book of Life. If you die rejecting Jesus Christ, it is erased. But when you believe in Jesus Christ, it is an entry name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what we're talking about now. So names entered on the basis of being born again is never erased. So the first one here, Revelation 3:8, "All who dwell on the earth will worship Him. Anyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb, who has been slain." And that's in Revelation 13:8. "All who dwell on the earth will worship Him." Now let me explain. Now you better get your pen out and put this here or you won't remember it. This is talking about those in the tribulation. They call them the earth dwellers, and they're unbelievers. And so this is saying all who dwell on the earth will worship Him. Who do you think the Him is? Antichrist. We're talking about in the tribulation. What? I know it's not, because it's not Christ. It's the Antichrist. Yeah. And, okay, so these are the ones who are not going to have their entry in the Lamb's Book of Life. "So everyone whose name was not written from the foundation of the world in the Book of Life of the Lamb." Now, we get more information about this because we're talking about, okay, when you believe the gospel, then your name is going to go in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says, whose name has not been written from... These are people whose name were not be written in the Book of Life of the Lamb who has been slain. So we know these are talking about unbelievers. Let's go to the next one. Revelation 17:8. "And those who dwell on the earth... who has not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast." And in other words, if their name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, what does that mean? They never were saved, because when you're saved, your name is put into the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's there forever. One more here on the bottom. Revelation 21, verse 27. "And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Now, I have to explain this. I don't think you know what it's talking about here. Does anybody figure it out what it is? Okay, we're still in Revelation 21. We're talking about the
they're pure.
I'm trying to think of what the name the
New Jerusalem.
The New Jerusalem. It just bounces right in there, but I got to give some context. "And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come to it." And that means if you are practicing abomination and lying and so forth, you shall never come into it. And that is the, what did you say?
The New Jerusalem.
Yes, I don't know why I can't think of that. It's the New Jerusalem. All these people aren't going to go into it because there's not going to be any sin there. But only those whose names was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So all you see all these places where you have to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life or you can't go into the New Jerusalem. And that would be because you are unbeliever. And then it's talking about in Revelation 17:8, and those who dwell on the earth whose name has not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast. So in other words, they're unbelievers. And then we talk about all who worship on the earth will worship him. And we're talking about the Antichrist. In each one of these things, these books are a guide that it's like a safety that they're not going to get anything mixed up because of these different types of books. And then we got this last one here. Come on, get up there. Whoop. Okay. Remember in verse 12, and it says, and the books were opened. Remember that? And I said, that's the book of works. It doesn't say book of works, but we know it is because in later on in verse at the end of verse 12 it says, and the books according to their deeds. And it was that same book. Okay, look up here on the screen now. Unbelievers will be judged by these at the great white throne judgment. And you have, excuse me. First of all, we have Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, which we've been looking at, and look at what it says here. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, that's the great white throne that we're talking about, and the books of works were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now let's stop there and see if we can remember something. The book of works is giving the people, those are the books that have the good works that people have done throughout their life. Now you might say, well, what's the matter with that? Because no one can be saved if they're trying to make it by their own effort. And so these books of works, and you know what's in there? That let's say you have, okay, Mr. Jones, here's your book of works here. Oh, you a busy guy. Let's see, you walked a lot of ladies across the street, and you gave to people who were hungry, and you did this and that. Then I don't know how long it would go on, but eventually he would get to the last part. And if somebody said, "Oh yeah, but you forgot about that time that I helped put shingles on this guy's roof." And they said, no, it's here. We got every work that you have is here. And so, and that's what they want. They want to be judged by their works because they think, man, that's going to, that's why I'm working so hard to get to heaven. They don't know that it's grace, 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 grace. You can't do anything on your own or you're going on the wrong way. And God hates good works in this context of trying to make those good works make God open His door to heaven and let you in for something that you have done. You understand? So when they get to the end of the good works, He says, okay, well, no one gets into heaven by any other way than faith alone in Christ alone. And then we'll see at the last moment here what's going to happen. Let me go through this again. I'm running out of time nearly. Again, Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, the great white throne, and the books of works were opened. These are people, so many people who reject Jesus Christ, they do it because they want to work to get to heaven themselves. And so these books were opened, and another book was opened, a book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book of life. What did I say? Well, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book, in the books of works. You see, he's condemning them for the things they did in the book of works. Because you can't do you understand that? Our only contact with Jesus Christ is his grace. He does for us, we don't do for him. And so they were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. Sins will not be mentioned. And then you have Revelation 20:15. And if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So you want to know how or why people are going to be thrown into the lake of fire? It's because their name is not written in the book of life, and it's not there because they went their whole life and never accepted Jesus Christ. They rejected him, and that's the only way anyone, not being rejected, but having faith alone in Christ is the only way that anyone is ever saved. And so they're thrown in the book of life. And we got one more part here. This is just showing you what in a series. So the name entered at birth is erased at death if not born again. And being born again means when you believe the gospel, then you're born again. But they're never born again because their name is erased from the book of life because they rejected Jesus Christ. Then the name entered on the basis of being born again is never erased. So when not only when you believe the gospel, then your name is entered when you are born again, and it is never erased, ever. And then this last part here, unbelievers will be judged by these at the great white throne. And notice one thing here. Book of life is what? Singular or plural? Book of life. It's single. Lamb's book of life is singular or plural?
Singular.
Look at the book of works. What is that?
Plural.
It's plural. They're working themselves to death to try to get to heaven, and they are going to be tossed into the lake of fire because they relied on the books of works. Now, see, these are only... let's see. Okay, in verse 15, if you look at your Bible, this is the last verse here. Revelation 20, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, do you know more now about that than you did before? Do you understand how important these books are? And the most the thing that is more shocking than anything else is this talking about unbelievers. Sin was not mentioned. And I told you I was a Calvinist and I was at Baraka Church. And when I saw this, when I knew that God was not going to let people who were unbelievers get by without anything happening. And so, when I saw that sin was not going to be mentioned, that threw me off. Because the Calvinists say that God chooses the ones that he wants to save, and the rest of them are going to be, they're going to go to the lake of fire. But if you ask Calvinists, okay, all these people who are going to hell, why are they going to hell? And what do you think they're going to say? Because of their what?
Works.
Well, they might say works, but the thing that I think about what they would say is that they think that they're going to go to hell for their sins. Where does it say that? What we've been studying is that Jesus Christ on the cross paid for the sins of the believers And not only that, he also pays for the sins of the entire world. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I would go over that and have that in your mind. And it's not the only place. In my notes, I have about 6 or 8 different places where it says that Jesus Christ took care of the entire world with regards to their sins. What I'm talking to you about tonight, I would say out of all the people that go to church and everything is going on, I would say maybe a number, probably around 5% of the people know about what I'm talking about right now. And they've gone to church every time the door is open. But if you ask them, things like, are you saved? I hope so. Or you say, why do people go to hell? Well, for their sin. They don't know any of this, and yet this is absolutely imperative for us to help people, straighten them out, and because so many of them are working to get to heaven, and they'll never make it. I have a verse here. It's too late now. I'm all... I got things popping up here. I'm going to get out of here. Okay, I'm going to show you this one deal, and I'm going to stop because we're just about out of time. Are you ready? Right under what it says here. Since so many people have supposed that their works will win them God's acceptance in the final judgment, each person will have his day in court, demonstrating that by the deeds, or you could put works there, of the flesh, of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, in God's sight. That's Romans 3:20. That in itself knocks the head off of the people who think you have to have works. Again, everybody's out there working so hard to win God's acceptance into the final judgment. Each person will have his day in court. You know, they're going through the books, seeing what they are. And but the verse in Romans 3:20 says, by the deeds, meaning works of the law, how much flesh is going to be justified? None. Zero. So, by the deeds or works of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. Because it is of works. And you don't get to heaven by your works. Okay, I'm going to end now. And, let me see. Okay, does anybody have any questions or comments or anything like that? Yes.
I always believe that we have a body and soul.
We do.
But that's dichotomous. We only get a spirit.
Right. I mean, we are born with a physical body and a soul. That's all the unbelievers have, is a body and a soul. When you are born again, then the Holy Spirit gives you a spirit. Because why would people who know nothing about it, what would they do with the soul anyway if they weren't saved?
Would they do with the soul? You mean the spirit,
yeah. Okay. No. And what I'm saying is, you're born with a body and a soul.
That's right.
Okay, and that's all that unbelievers ever have. That's why when you talk to them and you're talking about spiritual things, they can't understand it because they don't have a soul. They can't even...
They have a soul?
Huh? I mean spirit. I'm sorry, you're right. So it's because they don't have a spirit. They can't relate to it. And so when you're talking to an unbeliever, you don't want to go real deep into anything that's spiritual. All they need to know is, look, Jesus Christ took care of your sin problem on the cross, and... God the Father was satisfied with that. And when you put your faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, then you are saved. But if you are wanting to acquire that in another way, like by working for it, it's never going to happen. But when you're talking to people, I got to make this quick because I'm already past. If you're talking to somebody and they want to talk about let's say baptism, And they want you to talk about that. Why would you talk to them about baptism? Because if you explain the spiritual aspect of baptism, they won't even know what it is because they don't have a spirit. They can't do it. In fact, when you give them the gospel, the only way that they can understand it is by common grace, is which the Holy Spirit is allowing them or enabling them to understand spiritual phenomena. Beyond that, they wouldn't even be able to understand it. But I'm really late now. We got to let's just close here. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for these things in your word are so important for us to understand these things. And at whatever time we have left on this earth, we're going to run into probably a lot of people who are trying to work their way into heaven. And if we can explain to them what we have noted here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, if we can just put that in our mind for us to understand it well enough to tell them that if you're working to get into heaven, you'll never make it. Because we just did the verse there that those who work for the law, God does not count that as righteousness in any way. So anyway, help us to go back over these, and if you have questions or whatever, we need to deal with it because these things are so important. And so we pray that you'll help open our minds and make us curious. Take little notes, whatever we need to be able to remember it, because it is very, very important. So we thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.